Hello to all you aspiring physician assistants out there. This is Anthony Gauthier for your journey to PA school, and you're listening to Lunch with a PA, where I give you insight and motivations on how to become a stronger applicant. This is episode number 2, where I sit with my good friend Chase Hungerford, fellow Long Beach State alumni. He then went on to USC for PA school and now is practicing cardiothoracic surgery in LA. He has some great insight. Hope you enjoy. Let's get started. Welcome to Lunch with a PA, where I interview fellow PAs, providing you tips and motivations to guide you along your journey to PA school. Also, I wanted a reason to go out to lunch with my friends. Chase, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah, so Chase and I have been good friends for a long time. He was actually a Cal State Long Beach alumnus as well as myself. And I remember when he was on his journey to PA school and we helped each other out and now went off to USC and now practicing PA. So Chase, tell me a little bit about what you're doing now.
So I work in a private practice group that does cardiothoracic and vascular surgery. So I kind of split up my time between helping in the operating room, rounding on patients in the hospital, seeing consults, and seeing patients in the office.
Yeah, that's awesome. You're doing like such amazing stuff and crazy things. And I'm in orthopedics, so I get to do surgery a lot. I really enjoy it. And I could tell you really enjoy the surgical aspect of your job as well.
Yes.
But let's step back. I know personally I've helped you out on your way to become a PA, but when did you realize that you wanted to become a physician assistant?
I think a lot of it boils down to pretty much the day I met you. Prior to that, I was working in a physical therapy office and kind of realized that probably physical therapy wasn't going to be the right fit for me. And so my boss at the time, he said, I know an orthopedic doctor who has a PA and why don't you meet him and see what he does? And I said, I don't even know what a PA is, but I remember researching it, you know, kind of the days leading up to meeting you. And then I got to shadow you and like the rest is just history. I mean, that was really the kind of main turning point.
Yeah. So that was so exciting. I still remember when you came and shadowed me and just seeing how excited you were about the profession. But you've done quite a bit for yourself to get to where you are to get today. And, you know, you have some really unique things that you've done to set yourself apart from others when you were applying. But how did you prepare to apply to PA school? Was there anything specific that you can remember that really set you apart and helped you out?
I think one of the main things was I kind of, once I realized the world of PA and all the things PAs could do, I really like kind of all my other time when I wasn't paying attention in school and doing school related stuff in college or working was really spent on researching the profession. And I think just from the profession itself to getting into PA school to different PA schools and kind of everything in between and really trying to understand all aspects of it.
Yeah, and one thing that really blew me away when I first knew you and you're starting out to research PA schools, you developed all these different things to kind of help keep yourself organized leading up and applying. And I still remember when you showed me your Excel spreadsheet.
Yes.
That had all the different schools and the requirements. Can you explain a little bit of what you did? Because I know this could be really helpful for other aspiring PAs.
Yeah, I think I probably took it to a little bit of an extreme, but I think in the end, I was glad I did, and it helped me quite a bit. I created an Excel spreadsheet and just basically went and kind of created little blocks of information on each of the programs that I thought I wanted to apply to and made sure that their requirements, you know, I would put in matching classes that met their requirements. And I even went to the extent of like having my GPA calculated within the Excel spreadsheet. So I kind of knew exactly my science GPA and my regular GPA and made sure I tried to fit every or meet every requirement.
Yeah, that's excellent. It's a really cool way to keep yourself organized and kind of help you keep on track and make sure you're covering all the prerequisites and have all the requirements for the PA programs. Because, you know, unfortunately, every PA program requires something different. And it just makes it really confusing because you think you might have everything for one program, and then another program, you realize you're missing a course or you need some extra hours of work experience. So I thought that was really awesome that you're able to keep track of it. I know you're really into using technology into your advantage and things like you mentioned using Evernote. Can you explain how you used Evernote and some of those other programs to kind of help keep you organized?
Yeah, I have to. I do have to give credit to my good friend Josh, who I met in PA school, and I think our first block of, PA school was did with psychiatric stuff, and I kind of did my regular note taking the way I would normally do, mostly just kind of on the slides itself in PowerPoint. But I saw what he was doing in Evernote, and I was pretty just blown away. And then he showed me that, you know, yeah, I can do it on my computer and I can look at all my notes on my phone or on my iPad, and I have it wherever it goes. It's always backed up. So if my computer blows up, you know, I'm not worried. And kind of those major things sold me on it. And then from there, I learned how to use it from him and helped me keep my notes organized, thoughts organized. And it's still nice to, even though I'm over a year out from practicing or from being a student, I can easily reference notes on my phone anywhere. So it still helps to this day.
Yeah, and there are a handful of other programs. Everyone can find something that works best for them. I personally do a lot with just things in Google and using all the other Google apps that are available, not just the webmail, but there are a lot of other things that I'm using to kind of help keep track and organize. So for you guys, during your application process, try to be really organized and keep everything separate. And it really helps you out in the long run, especially when it gets time to applying for CASPA, because that can be fairly tedious. But if you're already ahead of the game doing the Excel spreadsheets or things on Evernote, it can really help you out. Now, knowing what you know now, Chase, what would you do differently if you're applying to school nowadays?
I think I would keep most of the things I did before. I think knowing what I know now and how competitive it's gotten, even just from the time period that I applied, which was not too long ago.
Yeah, you just recently, what year did you graduate?
I graduated in 2015.
Yeah, so, you know, this is still all very relevant.
Yeah.
Unlike myself, I graduated 2008. So some of the things that helped me out can be helpful now, but, you know, there are a lot of changes over the years. So,
yeah, the competition, I think, heats up every year and year, and it's just getting more and more competitive. And I think it's important for applicants to understand, you know, the basics to get in, but to also understand that people that are just meeting the basics aren't the ones getting accepted and getting a seat in a class. And you really have to push yourself to go outside the box and to meet the requirements, but also figure out ways that you're going to set yourself apart and how you're really, you know, being accepted to their program is going to set their program apart. And how can you make their program, you know, better in the long run once you're a student and once you graduate?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. You really need to sell yourself and show how you separate yourself from the rest of the crowd, because I know some of these programs are getting 1,000, 2,000 applicants for 40 to 60 seats. So you really need to figure out ways to differentiate yourself, and whether it be your extracurricular activities or just your grades and volunteer experience, there's everything you really need to do. So you had your background in Long Beach State. You went on to USC for PA school. Mm-hmm. And what was your favorite part of PA school? Did you have a favorite aspect about it?
I think at the end of the day, the favorite part is the your class that you're kind of in and the relationships you develop with those people and you know, becoming lifelong friends. I actually have a friend from PA school who will be our officiant at my upcoming wedding.
Oh, that's really cool.
So, you know, you get close to these people being in a classroom day in and day out for over a year. And I think the relationships you build in school are probably some of the most important things from PA school.
Yeah, I know you're always spending time studying, and what I found was you really build those good friendships because when you're spending all that time studying together and going through the rigors of PA school, you have each other to help you out and you really create great bonds. I'm the same way. I have friends that just really great friends that I keep in touch with all the time. We've been to each other's weddings, go to each other's kids' birthday parties. We talk on the phone often. So it really sets you up for getting some lifelong friends and people you could depend on. And it leads to the importance of networking because you never know who's going to help you out in the future. You might have a friend that works at a facility or office that are looking to hire a new PA, and because they know you well, that helps you get the job, or maybe you're looking for some help and vice versa. So it's always important to network because you never know what things are going to turn out. As we talk about school being so tedious and the demands of it, how do you do for your work life and school life balance, or more so the school life balance?
I think it's very important if you have a significant other, number one, preparing them prior to you even kind of applying to PA school and getting in. And then after that, it's really, you have to make time for them, their needs, as well as your needs, as far as in being in that relationship and creating date night and, taking appropriate time off when it's, feasible. And it, making sure you keep that relationship alive. I also think it's important to remember, not every relationship is going to survive through PA school, and not that, your particular relationship, is going to be one of that's a victim, so to speak. But, life moves on, and you have to kind of deal with that while going through PA school, which can be hard, but remember all the reasons why you're at PA school at that time as well.
Yeah, you have to think of the long-term goal and everything that's going to come out as a result of your hard work. And it's interesting that you bring that up because I had a similar situation, a serious girlfriend out of college and wanting to stay local for PA school, but had applied to some out-of-state programs and applied and interviewed at Cornell and their programs in Manhattan, New York, and really liked it. Could see myself going there. And then I was just thinking back and saying, you know what? If I was here on the East Coast in New York, I don't know if my relationship with my girlfriend at the time would be able to survive just doing the bi-coastal thing, not seeing each other often. Personally, for me, I just didn't think it would be able to last. So, and I ended up going to Western, which was my top choice because I want to stay in Southern California. And it all worked out because now that girlfriend turned into my wife. And so it all works out in the end, you know?
Exactly.
But now, you have the didactic year, and we all know it's difficult. You got your nose in the book, and you're constantly studying and taking exams and just almost being tortured by the faculty. But then you make it to that next year, that next process, and it's your clinical rotations. And, you know, I have so many great memories from clinical rotations, just crazy things you've seen that always stick in the back of your mind. And events when you really help someone out and you realize this is my true calling and this is why I want to become a PA. But Chase, what were some of like the most memorable moments, or is there one particular event that really sticks out in your mind from your clinical rotations?
This is a tough question. I think everybody has different, stories or experiences with, different situations that always come up. I can't think of an exact one right now, but I do remember just kind of like on my general surgery rotation and working with the surgeon there and kind of being able to scrub in and help on what I felt like were big cases, but you find out, oh, that's kind of a small case and not the grandest of things. But then you kind of see some other crazier cases and you really kind of get a nice warm fuzzy feeling inside and you go, hey, this is something that's really cool and kind of this is like what you want to do. And I remember those moments during my general surgery rotation, and I think that's kind of was a big moment for me.
Yeah, did you find that during your clinical rotations it really helped kind of guide you down a path knowing which subspecialty or what specialty of medicine you wanted to get into?
Definitely. I think everyone goes into PA school with an open mind, I hope, but also to kind of something in the back of their head, like, oh, I think I want to do this. And I always encourage people to say that's okay to have that thought, but please keep your mind open because you'll be really surprised once you get into it and the different experiences you have. Some things are going to be awesome, and some things are just going to be like, maybe way too much emotionally or physically or something like that. And you kind of have to take a step back and reevaluate things. So keep an open mind, but obviously go into it with some desires as well, because that will push you.
Yeah, so you kind of had that interest in surgical aspect of medicine. And how difficult was it for you finding your first job once you finished up school?
I think I had I don't know if it's unique or not. Where I work currently, there are other phys or my partner in crime, our other physician assistant, she would lecture a few times at USC, and I got to shadow her actually for a day during one of my rotations while I was working with a nephrology group. They crossed paths in the same hospital, so I tried to keep in touch as best I could with her, and just remind her like, hey, you're going to be graduating soon. And
Plant the
luckily,
seed.
exactly, I tried to farm and plant the seed and water it and put Miracle-Gro on it and all of that. And I think it did pay off in the end, because they ended up contacting me around graduation time. We're like, hey, we're look thinking about looking for somebody. Are you still interested? And I said yes, and that kind of went from there.
Yeah, that's so awesome. It just shows the importance of networking. And
Yes.
it also shows that, at least I tell other aspiring PAs, there are plenty of jobs out there. You might not be able to get your dream job right off the bat, but I myself am constantly being contacted by recruiters or other PAs that say, hey, I know you help aspiring PAs and know a lot of PAs. Are there anyone that you can refer me for a job because we need someone? And it's just one of those things. It's really great for the profession. I feel people that are getting into the profession, you're really getting in at the prime time. Profession's gaining notoriety, it's expanding exponentially, and I just foresee it doing really well in the future.
I know of multiple providers or physicians that are looking for PAs as well. Even just in kind of our local area, and then I still get an email from various services, I think probably at least once a day, advertising PA jobs across the country. So, jobs are out there, like you said, and there's no, maybe not your perfect one or the your dream job in the beginning, but be patient, and you will find what you're looking for.
Yeah, did you find that most of the people in your class that you graduated with were able to find jobs right out the bat pretty easily?
Yeah, I think, gosh, most of us had either interviews or job offers, especially as it grew closer and closer to graduation time, and then probably more so even as people pass their boards and all around that time period, there's a lot of thing moving parts. So job interviews and studying for your boards and all of that. So yeah, I think the majority of us had offers or were interested in different providers.
Great. I know you see a lot of unique things in your day-to-day life at work, but is there how would you describe your work day in one sentence?
We start with organization. There's usually a little bit of chaos, but at the end of the day, everyone's okay.
Excellent. That's excellent. That was well put. Very well put. If you think about it, every day is a different day. When you're working in the field of medicine, sometimes even when it's supposed to be just kind of your regular, take it easy, not so busy day, something crazy can happen, and that's the beauty of medicine. That's what makes it great. I think that's what inspires most of us to do the best and be our best every day, because you always have to be on your toes. You don't know what to expect. I know personally on clinic days, you think, oh, it's clinic. It should be basic follow-ups, a couple new patients, nothing too exciting. But never fails that 4:45 patient on a Friday afternoon ends up being something crazy to just keep you there later on and maybe into the weekend. But that's the things that kind of help motivate us and keep us doing what we do. And that's why we love the profession so much. But now, Chase, let's get to a segment that I like to call Drop Some Knowledge. So what's one piece of advice or wisdom that you would tell aspiring PAs out there?
Do your research. I think if you wanted to scare yourself a little bit, is you could look into the amount of time and money it would cost to applying to PA school, and kind of look at the overall cost, meaning time from research, how much money school costs to get your undergraduate degree, getting a job in the medical field, and the time you spend there, and kind of equate that with some of the efforts that you put towards PA school. And I think it would scare people into really kind of doing their best the first time and really, really, really trying hard to get in during that first one, which I know is not the easiest thing in the world. But if you can do that, from a solely from a monetary motivation standpoint, I think you kind of realize how expensive it can be to get into PA school, and the reward at the end of the tunnel or at the end of the journey is pretty good. So work hard in the beginning, and the reward is bigger at the end.
Yeah, definitely. It's hard when you're doing your undergrad work and you're busy with studying and volunteering and getting everything. It's hard to see that end goal, but
Exactly.
just keep working hard one step at a time. You'll get there, and just keep working hard, and you'll be there one day. Well, Chase, thank you so much for hanging out with me today, and it was fun talking to you. We get to see each other often, so I know I'll be talking to you soon.
Yeah. If I can add one more thing, I think to help me maybe help motivate people is a good friend of mine who's now a doctor. He told me about one of the things that he did to kind of help motivate him on the day-to-day basis. And he wrote a little note on a little card, and he put it in his wallet, and he put his name, his last name, and he put MD behind his name. And I did the same thing and put PAC behind my name. And it's kind of every time you go into your wallet to buy something, to whatever it is, you pull it out, and it kind of reminds you and keeps you on your journey to PA school. And so I would encourage people to try that.
That's awesome. That's such a cool tip. It's almost like creating a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you see that every day, it's going to get ingrained in your subconscious mind, and it just shows that you're willing to put in the effort and the hard work and do what needs to be done to achieve your goals. Because I know you guys can do it. I was able to do it. Chase was able to do it. And so many others have been able to do it. And I think you're right there to be next in line so we could call you a future PA. Well, Chase, I guess I'll talk to you later. We'll grab a beer sometime.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Episode 2, Lunch with a PA. I'd like to thank my buddy Chase for stopping in and chatting with me. My favorite takeaway, get a business card and write PAC at the end of it. Such a great motivator. I wish I would have done something like that to keep me motivated. Learn more about becoming a physician assistant at journeytopaschool.com. Follow me on Instagram, journeytopaschool, where I do weekly Instagram live events, Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Pacific. All right, guys, until next time, I can't wait till the day to call you a fellow PA. Take care. Are you interested in networking with other aspiring PAs? Want to be able to ask questions to current physician assistant students? And how about talk to PA school representatives? Well, you're in luck. Our 5th annual Your Journey to PA School Aspiring PA Conference is Saturday, April 15th at Marshall B. Ketchum University in Fullerton, California. Get tickets at myjourneytopa.eventbrite.com. Check it out. It's a lot of fun. Every year sells out, and each year is better than the last. Chase will be there. I'll be there. Hey, why don't you come meet us in person? Ask us questions. Tell us what you think about everything. All right, guys, take care.